Bill Curry Ford presents the Ira Kaufman podcast. Bill Curry Ford, 1 mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Get to their website, BillCurryFord.com. Curry is the family name, C-U-R-R-I-E, family owned since 1960. You'll be blown away by the 0% financing offers on nearly every new vehicle. Check out the used selection. Hit up Sean Sullivan, the general manager, for your Joe Bucks fan, Ira Kaufman discount. We're going to talk a lot more about them later. BillCurryFord.com. And thank you, Florida's Elite Restoration. I know I sleep a lot easier at night. So does Ira, knowing that Florida's Elite Restoration is there if I have a disaster in my home. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. They will restore your home from mold damage. Mold is a killer. You need a licensed mold remediation specialist like Florida's Elite Restoration. Water damage, flood, fire, storm damage. Florida's Elite Restoration is your go-to phone call. Call them first before you call your insurance company. They're there for you 24/7. They'll respond 24/7. They'll give you a free inspection. Mention Ira or Joe Bucks fan when you first call. And if you need their services after a free inspection and after a full evaluation and an explanation of what's going on and how they can proceed with your insurance company, you will get $500 back for mentioning Ira or Joe Bucks fan. It's no better than that. They've got 5-star Google reviews across the board. Look them up. Florida's Elite Restoration. Florida'sElitereStoration.com.
Bottom line is, the thing that's killing Bowles is it's his side of the ball that's screwing up.
Buccaneers fans, the sage of Tampa Bay Sports is here on his award-winning podcast. Ira, everybody heard our intro there with our fantastic sponsors. We thank Florida's Elite Restoration, Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Educate yourself, like we just said. And Sage, of course, the giant, Bill Curry Ford. You got to shop there. You got to give him a chance. You got to be smart and get taken care of. You got an inside person. You got Sean Sullivan ready to help you. He's not in the Bahamas. He's there at Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of the stadium. He'll give you the discounts. He will work with you.
He'll also talk Bucks with you, if that's what you want.
We have got so much to talk about on this podcast. Lee, before we get started, are you okay? Have you come down from this nightmare that Bucks fandom has been?
Lee looks very composed today.
I'm struggling.
I was depressed for about 3 days. You know, someone picked up on this. One of our readers, Steve. One of our readers commented on this. And he nailed it on the head. He nailed my frame of mind perfectly. He said, whenever the Bucks have a bad loss for 2 or 3 days, you're pounding the team. And then once the Bucks return to practice, joy has overcome you.
You know what? I think that's great because you represent the voice of the fans, of your readers. You don't always write it from a Buccaneer perspective. When they suck, they suck. And I think that's why this is the go-to source for Buck information.
I think we're just calling it as we see it. I don't think it's, I mean, perspective this, perspective that. It's just, it is what it is.
And I'm not knocking Buccaneers.com, but everybody knows everybody knows who pays the freight.
You should be. They're there to entertain fans. Not a lot of entertainment over there. It's boring.
But as Steve pointed out, adroitly, you like that
word. Oh, that's a good one.
I was depressed for about 3 days there. Really depressed.
I was worried about you, Lee.
It's depressing. It shouldn't be this bad. And I really, you know, Todd Bowles, do you think he was being honest this week? I asked him, Ira, on Wednesday. I asked him, have you been getting a lot of chatter about your historic rant, you know, the expletives and all that, and fun texts?
He said everybody does it.
Have you had any fun with it? Have you gotten a lot of our players needling you? Because, you know, they needle each other in the locker room. He's like, no, every coach does this. Nonsense. When's the last time you ever heard a coach say what he said?
I asked him if he heard from his wife. You know, he goes, no, absolutely. I said, did she give you a thumbs up, maybe? No. And then he said, not too many people talked to me over the weekend.
Well, I'm pretty sure it was Friday. I was so depressed that maybe the first time, possibly the second, but maybe the first time since we launched this site in 2008, I struggled to write anything.
Whoa.
I struggled to write anything.
Steve, you worry about that? We're too negative? We're too negative about this team? Nothing's lost. Nothing's lost. The season's not lost, and we're writing like it is. You've lost 5 or 6. What do you want us to do?
I don't care what people think. That's the bottom line. Who cares? Negative, positive. The team dictates how the fans feel about it and how we write about it. So, you know, everybody has a different view of the team, and that's fine. Some people think the Bucks are in great position, and maybe they are. We're going to find out on Sunday.
And, Lee, a loss is a loss, but the way they lost the Atlanta game, that doubled down on everything.
On top of the New Orleans loss. Yeah.
And the Bulls, I don't like the Bulls freak out. You think that?
Oh, I loved it.
I mean, it was fun as hell. Don't get me wrong. But Ira, before we jump into all the things on this podcast, looking back on it, do you think that was calculated? Or do you think he just lost it?
Really?
I think it was calculated.
Wow, it looked like to me it was like sincere.
I'm not saying it was. It was sincere and calculated. And I think he thought, like, what do my players need to hear? And I think he figured that they need to hear that I'm beyond pissed off.
Wow.
And I care, and they should care as much as I do. I think there was a little calculation there.
If I was going to take anything negative out of that, and like I said, I loved it because I thought it was raw. Raw emotion.
It was raw.
And I thought that was great. If I had to take a negative away from that, it had the appearance of Bulls throwing his arms up in the air. Like,
that's the only part I didn't like, when he said, we've done all we can as coaches.
Yeah.
That I didn't like.
Because he believes that, and that's the scary part.
It's more than a week, Steve. It's more than a week.
It's 9 days. I don't even know what's going on. I don't know which way
I'm
to
worried
turn.
I'm about your recovery time, Steve.
7-7. Here the Bucks are. Fans, nonstop. It's endless. Social media everywhere. Everywhere you turn around town, Todd Bowles, what's going to happen with this team? There are fans out there that want to lose to get rid of Bowles. There's fans that want to lose because they think the Bucks can't do anything in the playoffs. There's fans that, of course, want to win because they're fans. I don't know who watches a game and hopes the team loses when they're fighting for first place. Sunday's got the huge game coming up in Carolina. Finally, the long wait is over.
The schedule maker did a fantastic job. Didn't he, Steve? Whoever put this thing together with these two games within 3 weeks.
They guessed right, and I think it's great. I mean, I know a lot of fans don't like, and the teams aren't necessarily the hugest fans of playing a team
but you
twice
play
in
your
3 weeks.
You play your division opponents down the stretch. Nothing wrong with that.
Twice in 3 weeks, they got the Panthers. It's the third division game in a row. Can Todd Bowles survive losing three division games in a row when the games actually mean something in December? Huge game, Ira. The weather is going to cooperate. It's supposed to be about 60 in Charlotte for the game. So no,
And clear.
Yeah, nothing crazy. No big winter effect.
Field should be in good shape. As opposed to that Thursday night, I don't want to call it a debacle. You know, the only guy that seemed to have traction was Bijan Robinson. He wasn't slipping and sliding. He was making guys miss all night.
That traction's name was Todd Bowles.
Isn't that something?
Well, Carolina has turf, do they not? The reason why I'm asking that is, and I think that, there was a big controversy that, I'm sorry, Steve, but David Tepper won the rights to have this kickball tournament they're having next summer.
Oh, okay.
And
This summer. Coming up.
Okay, well, it shows you how much I follow this. At any rate, the controversy was David Tepper was happy to rip up the turf for the soccer squads, but he won't have regular grass for his football team.
Why don't you have regular grass in Charlotte, North Carolina? What's wrong with that?
That is obviously the first element. The second element is, it's like anything else, especially when you're talking about billionaires, it's all about dollars and cents. It's all about dollars and cents.
And your slimy Saints somehow
have
worked their way into being a major factor in this Bucks-Panthers showdown, because had the Saints lost to Carolina, then the Bucks would be facing elimination Sunday, and now they're not. I think the whole dynamic has changed.
Steve brought this up just a moment ago, and it's so true. There are legions of diehard, hardcore Bucks fans that are working their rosaries, their fingers are going raw, hoping the Bucks lose so that will get rid of Bowles.
I don't know if I would call those people Buck fans, Lee. I don't like that attitude.
No, but they're looking for the future. They're looking forward. So those are the same people that want you to lose. If you can't make the playoffs, they want you to tank. They're looking forward. They're like, okay, this will help us in the future. It won't help now, but I can't knock.
What are the Clint Kubiak people over there?
Yes,
artificial turf in Charlotte. They switched a few years ago full-time to that. Yeah, look, I get it, Ira. I don't understand the mentality of wishing the team loses because you want to launch the head coach, or you're hoping that's the only I get that you think that's the only way for an overhaul, but no,
I don't. I don't buy this thing that if they make the playoffs, they're bounced in the first round. I don't think that's a given.
Well, why
is that a given?
Well, recent history suggests that.
It's not a given, because if they get some,
it's not a given, because it's a given. It's 100%.
If they get some players back and build some momentum, why is it a given?
And I'm not saying you're predicting this. Are you confident if the Bucks play the Rams, they'll win? I am not.
Of course not.
They'll be underdogs. Maybe, you know, 6-point underdogs. Yeah.
But there's still a lot to be decided in the NFC West, which is where the top wild card team would come out of, which would eventually be the Bucks' opponent if they did make
the playoffs. The Rams are showing that they're mortal. They lost to the Panthers. And they lost the shootout to Seattle when they had a big lead.
The only time I remember Sean McVay remotely struggling with the Todd Bowles defense, Matt Stafford was hurt. And he had some slug. What was this? Wolford was his quarterback then?
John Wolford? John Wolford.
I think so.
Who ended up on the Buck practice squad.
Yeah. He's at back.
I mean, the Rams defense is...
All right, let's not get too far ahead and talk playoffs here. The Bucks haven't won a game in I don't know how long, and they're not playing good football. Sunday, though, Ira, I think, and we're going to get into our Todd Bowles survival meter, take two of that later in the show.
And your poll's out, right? The poll's out.
The poll's out. I mean, we'll talk about that. That was record-setting data that was produced at JoeBucksFan.com. But I've got a new theory.
I love your theory, Steve.
I got a new theory, and it's tied to the Todd Bowles survival meter, but we'll only talk about this end of it here. I think, in no uncertain terms, it's my new theory, Ira. You ready for this?
I don't know if I'm ready, but I am sitting down.
I think that Josh Grizzard and the offense's performance in the last three games is what will determine Todd Bowles' future.
Yeah.
Continue.
Because if this offense does what we believe it can do, now, it's not just fantasy land. Over the last 2 years, when Mike Evans has played and started a game, the offense is averaging 29 points a game.
Very
healthy.
Fact. Very healthy.
Okay? And Evans, based on all his comments this week, on the Buccaneers radio network mostly, and then in person, he's coming back to play next year, barring an injury later this year.
Sure looked healthy against the Falcons.
He looked phenomenal. That's Mike Evans with fresh legs.
Bingo.
You know, I hear people talking, radio otherwise, oh, he's got all the juice. He's got fresh legs. That's the juice. It's not because he's this and that, you know. The guy's fresh. He broke his collarbone. Everything's perfect otherwise. So Josh Grizzard, if he goes out there and scores 29 points a game the next three games, whatever the result, even if they lose 38-29, how are the Glazers going to blow that up? You're going to get rid of your offensive coordinator who is obviously gelling with this offense, who has built a relationship with your quarterback, who your quarterback said, yeah, I'm good with Grizzard, make him the head guy, and you're going to throw that out the window
for a new head coach?
Who said anything about jettisoning Grizzard?
Exactly. They bring in a defensive coach.
They would never bring in a defensive head coach.
Well,
never.
I agree with you. I agree with you about a defensive head coach, but our last names are not Glazer.
So, I say they would never do it. It doesn't make sense.
So? No, they just hired one.
They had one forced upon them.
Okay.
Forced upon them. Well, they still
had to agree to it.
I understand.
Lee, Steve threw me a curveball. I thought he was saying if they score 29 points average over the next 3 weeks, I thought he meant that means they're going to win the division and Bowles will stay.
Probably.
That's what I thought he was going. But no, he's not going there.
Well,
he's saying they might lose anyway.
Wait. Are you suggesting that Josh Grizzard will be promoted to head coach?
No, absolutely not.
I think, but
I thought he meant Grizzard's going to help Bowles keep his job.
Your premise is correct that they should win. I believe they'll win if they score 29 points a game in the next three. That they'll win two out of three and win the division. But even if they don't, I think that would be something that for the Glazers to say, you know what? If we don't keep Todd Bowles, we're going to lose Grizzard because we're not going to hire a defensive head coach. And Baker wants Grizzard. We want to re-sign. We're not going to make Grizzard head coach. I think it would help Bowles. Because if the flip side is, if the offense, with all these weapons back, scores 17 points a game in the next three, what are they hanging on to here?
Let me get this straight. They don't want to hire a new coach, even though he could be this Clint Kubiak, because they're worried about the offensive coordinator. Even though Kubiak would be running the offense, and right now he's got a better resume than Grizzard. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying I think that if the offense plays well at the end of the year, the way they could and should and do when Evans is there, that the Glazers will absolutely 110% not want to get rid of Josh Grizzard, and that means keeping Todd Bowles.
If Grizzard is that valuable, well, then just promote him. Like some people are arguing it should have happened last year with Cohen. If he's that valuable, just promote him.
I don't think he's capable.
Steve, I think the decision on Bowles, if there is a tough one to be made, has little to do with Grizzard. I think it's whether they believe in Bowles or not. And Bowles' biggest problem, Lee, and you've been saying this for a month.
I could just hear the fans screaming right
Bowles'
now.
Biggest problem is the The vast majority of the problems are on his side of the ball. That's his problem.
And have been for years.
If the offense was struggling, you could say, hey, we'll replace Grizzard. It's not that easy
Exactly.
now.
Exactly, yes.
The problem is the Bulls' defense.
Exactly.
Whether he doesn't have the players, and you and I disagree on that a little bit, but I'm certainly not absolving Bulls of all blame because it all goes through him. But I don't like the front seven. I just don't like it. Even with Kansas, I still think they're a little weak there.
Can you hear the fans screaming?
I can hit it. Not in the distance. The guy in the parking lot over there. He's giving me the middle finger over there, Lee. You just heard what I said. Steve, you threw me a little bit of a curveball with Grizzard, but I understand where you're coming from.
I just think that the Glazers know that the most important situation on the team is the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing happens without the quarterback. And if that marriage of Grizzard and Mayfield is healthy and productive closing the season after some strong moments and a lot of adversity, I don't know why they would do anything to mess with that. And Grizzard, I can't believe, Lee, that they would promote him to head coach. Doesn't make sense.
Well, your premise brings up a couple of questions. If Grizzard is all that.
And who says he is? Who says he is?
Is or isn't.
We'll see how he closes the three games.
Well, let's say he does. We don't know how long Evans is going to be around. If he's that valuable, I mean, to me, if a guy is that valuable, you promote him, number one. Number two, if he's that damn good, why was the Bucks offense garbage for like 5 or 6 weeks?
They would say injuries.
Which is fair, but still, that gets to my original premise. A good coach figures out a way. I'm not talking about leading the league, but at least be average. At least be average. And with Mayfield there again, if Grizzard is all that, he should have been able to help Mayfield navigate the minefield. But again, Baker may have been more hurt than what we understand.
Lee, at the risk of alienating Buck Nation again, I'll put it bluntly. And you know what? You might agree with me. If he wins the division, he's staying. If he wins the division, he's staying. If he doesn't win the division, he's in trouble. I can't put it any more bluntly than that.
Yeah, the Glazer family has demonstrated divisions doesn't mean job security.
Depending on what they think of the team and depending on how much injuries.
No, we don't have that information.
So there's some mitigating factors in Bowles' favor in terms of the injuries. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't get around that. The offensive
line. Well, if the game is won in the trenches, the Bucks have been without three starting positions almost all year. Right guard.
Right tackle.
Right tackle half the year.
Tristan
Wirfs missed four games. Now left guard is going to miss four games.
Yeah.
And Mauk's been gone just about all year.
Yeah. That weighs on the Glazer mind. It does.
There was a comment on Joe Bucks Fan earlier this week. I want you to respond to this. You know, we're talking about Bulls, job security, observation. The Bucks got rid of Tony Dungy, and he won divisions. The Bucks got rid of John Gruden, he won divisions. Why is Todd Bowles so special?
I'm going to say they got rid of Gruden because he lost the division. That's what I would say to that. Dungy, I believe that's ancient history in the NFL world and the world of the Glazers, so I don't count it.
I think the Dungy situation is they thought he was way too stubborn on one side of the ball. Stubborn. And they didn't like the dink-and-dunk attack, and they knew they had a hell of a defense, and he wasn't capitalizing on it. I'm not sure this is the same situation as that. I think the injuries are going to play a big factor in evaluating Bowles after the season. If he wins the division, if he doesn't win the division and loses out to the Carolina Panthers, who was supposed to win five games, that's going to stick in the craw. Yes, Lee? The craw.
Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford dealers, 1 mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. And it's very simple. You go to BillCurryFord.com. Curry is the family name, C-U-R-R-I-E. They've been the family owners of the dealership since 1960. That's 65 years, and they are still working at the dealership, serving the community. This is the largest service department in Florida. This is the most hands-on, customer service-friendly, people-friendly, Bucks fan-friendly place that you can go buy a vehicle. General Manager Bill Curry Ford, Sean Sullivan. He's got the Joe Bucks Fan discount for you. And right now they've got zero money down, 0% APR for 60 months, and zero payments for 90 days on almost every single model. BillCurryFord.com.
This is not a sterile corporate business, right, Steve?
There you go.
Much different.
No sterility there. That's the voice of Ira Kaufman. Raise the flags on Amazon Prime if you haven't watched it yet. We heard last week on the Joe Bucks Fan show, Trent Cooper, executive director, talking a little bit about the documentary. We'll hear him.
Hey, Cooper wants to know when you're putting out the podcast. He asked me the other day, where's this bitch?
I told
he's saving it for Christmas. He didn't like the answer.
The Buccaneers asked me that too. We'll have on the Ira Kaufman podcast that you can find on the iHeartRadio app or Joe Bucks Fan an extended version of Trent Cooper, about 35-40 minutes. really diving into the documentary. Like we said on our last show, hey, bottom line, fans are dialed into Todd Bowles right now. They don't want to. They don't want to be at peace.
Lee, this is another example of Steve being very strategic with the podcast and with the website. Lee.
I'm just going on whether I want to sit back and listen to 40 minutes of a conversation like that. And no, I want to scream about Todd Bowles. That's what I want to do. So I'm just, you know, reflecting on myself.
I'm trying not to scream.
Lee's been very, very well behaved about this Bucks defense.
Lee's
now,
right.
Can you imagine what happens Sunday if the Bucks defense craps the bed again and loses 35-28 in Charlotte?
And then you put out another Bowles poll. Now we're looking at 98%.
Lee, do you have any faith in the defense, in their ability to bounce back a little bit, or anything when it comes to the defense?
No.
Pride factor?
No, I don't. Only thing, if a couple of accidents happen, otherwise known as turnovers, I call them accidents because they are. That's the only thing I think is going to save this defense. The more I think about it, the more they have a bigger locker room problem, certainly than they're letting on. The more I think about it, you know, Bowles and Mayfield and Levante has been screaming at these guys to get motivated. They're not motivated for their team to seal a playoff bid. What will motivate them? I think at this point they're unmotivated. And unable to be motivated. I have no faith in them. I mean, I saw what happened against the Saints. I saw what happened against Atlanta. And, oh, by the way, Ira, the Bucks defense. In the fourth quarter, the Bucks have the fifth worst point differential in the NFL.
That's good research, Lee.
Fifth worst. And a lot of that's on the defense. You could say the offense, too, sure. But a lot of that's on defense. The only team, and this will shock you, Ira, the only team capable of making the playoffs that has the worst point differential in fourth quarter is, drum roll.
Don't tell me it's Carolina.
Pittsburgh. And that's usually
who hangs their hat on defense.
Exactly. Tomlin, defensive guy, by the way.
You know, Steve, to Lee's point, tough to argue it, the Bucs have not played a solid defensive game since they smacked the Saints around before the bye week.
Exactly.
I mean, Arizona, they didn't play great defense against Arizona. McBride got his against, you know, the guy you got to stop is Trey McBride. They didn't stop him because Arizona don't know how to win a close game. The Bucs win the game. You know, that Atlanta game, it really took me back, Steve, because knowing that you got to pressure Cousins, otherwise he's going to shred you like he did in 2024, and he does the same thing in 2025. That is very unsettling, Steve. Very unsettling.
Oddly enough, a guy that many Bucs fans didn't want on the team, and even more Bucs fans want to get rid of, had a key sack strip.
Absolutely.
Still they couldn't
Absolutely.
So, we go to Charlotte on Sunday. Bryce Young is 0-4. Against the Buccaneers. Now, that includes the wild Anthony Nelson save the day game in Charlotte with the overtime forced fumble. But he hasn't played well against Bowles. Now, if he comes out and gets all Kirk Cousins, then you know something's extra bad. But you know what? I'm getting a little tired, Ira. Maybe you're not. Maybe you're not, Lee. But I'm getting a little tired of, I hear a lot of fans saying, there's not, every week you would think that if you listen to fans, the Bucs have less and less talent every week on defense. You know, if you put Jason Light, the general manager, on a lie detector test, now he said it publicly about 4 weeks ago, but I believe he thinks he has the best safeties tandem in the National Football League. I think he believes that.
And he spoke highly of Winfield this week.
And he
talked him up. Bowles did.
And they believe Vita Vea is an impact player, still in his prime, doing his thing. And obviously, Levante David has stepped back. Obviously, Servasio Dennis didn't make that leap that they hoped. He stayed healthy, but he made that leap.
First things first.
They got a cornerback with three picks who's played pretty well. Jacob Parrish, they believe, is a rising talent. Stop saying there's no talent on the defense. Stop it. It's not okay to just, oh, well, we got nobody. That's a bunch of crap. I know they've spent more money on offense, and they have holes on defense, but to say that they can't stop teams from scoring 30-something points a game, come on.
You know, Lee, I've been very consistent on this, and I'm going to say the words that get you going.
No.
Pass rush.
Well, I agree.
The one part that you and I are in total lockstep, they don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have it. Now, you like to look at it from a Bowles perspective, and he's not developing these guys and working with them. I tend to look at it more as a talent perspective. Steve, I'm not talking about the secondary, and I think it's hard to judge a secondary, Lee, fairly when you got a lousy pass rush. And it's lousy.
As you would say, under siege.
The guy has too much time to scan the field.
Yeah.
And so that's not on Jamel Dean. You know, I'm not going to kill
who's having a very good year.
Yeah, you know, and then you're going to pick on, you know, Kendall Vildor, who, by the way, Steve, I still say was mainly responsible for the 4th and 14th. That's a documentary right there. But talk about the talent on the roster in terms of a pass rush and why you think it should be much better than it's showing. Why?
Well, two, maybe 3 weeks ago, Bowles once again said, we don't care where the pressure comes from. How many really good teams can you think of? I can only think of one. How many really good teams did not have an edge rush? Gil Brandt said the second most important player on a football team is an edge rusher. The second most. First is a quarterback, of course.
And then maybe a left tackle.
Left tackle's number three. And, you know, I hear all kinds of, you know, learned men in football basically say the same thing. Bill Polian among them. So there's new math that is oversweeping football in Bowles' mind that we don't need an edge rush. I just do not believe that. I don't believe that at all. And Bowles is doing nothing but proving me correct. You know, the Bucs have won 2 Super Bowls in franchise history since we're celebrating 50 years. Both times they had a fierce edge rush. What do the Bucs not have right now? A fierce edge rush. And I do not think that's a coincidence in any way, shape, or form.
But I tend to say they don't have the edge rusher. And you tend to look at more from a coaching aspect.
Because I'm a coach's guy, both bad and good. A good coach will make a below-average guy mediocre. He'll make a mediocre guy okay. He'll make a good guy great. And that's where I go bananas about Bowles. You know, I love Todd Bowles, but his philosophy and my philosophy about an edge rush just can't be any more polar opposite.
You think they're underachieving from a pass rush perspective, Steve, in terms of personnel?
Is that a joke?
No, I know where I was going here.
It's not
a joke.
I think I know where I was. You're talking about.
You think Logan Hall should be a 10 sack
Logan
guy?
Logan Hall's not an edge rusher, but yeah, of course they're underachieving. Yaya Diaby is a
6 sacks. Good year for him.
He's a talented edge rusher. He hasn't maximized that talent, which I think is coaching. Hassan Reddick, yeah, we'd be dancing about him. 2.5 sacks. Yeah, and a big one last week could have won the Atlanta game, but we couldn't fall on the ball. He's underachieved. Bowles hasn't sparked him up. He's playing for, like, his best buddy, Larry Foote. The guy looks like he's mailed it in, for the most part.
Is that on Bowles?
Of course it's on Bowles. Sit his ass down if he's looked like crap. Hassan, you want to make money somewhere else next year? Play harder. Otherwise, this game you're sitting. You don't like it? Walk out the door, man. Well, what's the problem with that? The Glazers are going to say you can't do that?
Well,
yeah, it's on Bowles.
What's the next option for Bowles? Put in Braswell?
I mean, yeah, how much worse could he do? How much worse could he do?
How come you never blame the player?
I do blame the player. I just said Reddick's mailed it in. So
what can Bowles do about that?
Get him off the field.
Yeah, that's what Steve's saying.
Get him off the field. Send a message to the rest of your team. You're bringing in JPP to send a message, but you couldn't send a message by benching the guy who sucks.
Speaking of JPP, you expect to see him Sunday?
Yes.
I do.
See him in what respect?
On the
field. See him on the bench? Well, you know, walking the sideline? Sure.
I don't care how desperate it
maybe,
sounds.
Maybe I'm too creamsicle colored glasses here. You know, if you're grasping at straws, the fact that Reddick had a strip sack at the most important time of the game, maybe he's turning it around.
Maybe.
When I think of pass rush, I think of sacks. I don't give a damn about pressures. I don't think pressures do a damn thing against a good quarterback. I just don't. But for the people who think pressures are so great, I call it hand grenade football. You know, close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades. That's pressures. Oh, I got 2 steps away from them. I'm great. The Bucs, I just saw this a couple nights ago, are like 5th or 4th in pressures.
I'm not buying that stat. I watched the games.
Well, I do know that the game before Reddick got hurt, the Bucs had two rushers in the top 10 of pressures, Reddick and Yaya.
The good news is Carolina's edge rush is even worse. Their top guys got 3.5 sacks. We've got so much to get to with the game coming up Sunday. Our Todd Bowles survival meter, our picks, a lot going on. Ira, before we get to the Todd Bowles survival meter, I was looking it up. This is the first legitimate game for the Panthers at home that really was a playoff,
meaningful
first place on the line game in December since 2018. You know, so the fans there are going pretty wild. And the Bucs are walking into a real hyped fan base that believes, hey, you know, we beat the Rams. We choked against.
They're pissed about the Saints game.
And they choked against the Saints last week. And now what are we really all about? So This is a situation for the Bucks where I think they got to jump on them early. What are you looking at?
When the story of this season is written in terms of playoffs, Lee, I think the play that might be lost in the shuffle, and Steve mentioned it, you know, that personal foul penalty against Carolina that set up the Saints' field goal. It's critical. Yeah. It's critical because now the Bucks aren't facing elimination. They'll have a chance, even if they lose, to, you know, go back and beat them at home, you know, and probably make the playoffs with the split. And so it's changed markedly since then. Having said that, Steve's right. Bank of America Stadium, it's going to be a frenzied atmosphere.
Wow.
Now, Lee, having said that, I'm not sure the Bucks don't play better on the road than they do at home. They got no home cooking going on, this team. They just don't.
You know, I don't know what their home split is, home visiting, but they sure don't feel like they've got any.
They went to Atlanta week one. They go into Houston week two. They win. At home, this has been going on for years. I don't see the real home field advantage for this team. Now, they might really need it in week 18. They might. But Steve's right. From a Carolina perspective, that town's on fire. You know, all the TV stations, radio, casual fans are caught up into it. The Bucks better be mentally prepared because those fans are going to be those fans are going to be all over them.
The only time I ever remember the Bucks having, you know, within the last 20 years, it was when the Bucks were really good, like Aaron's years, and a lousy team would come. When I say lousy, the Bears or the Dolphins pre-Tua, and it would be hotter than heck, and they just slapped them around. That's the only time I remember that.
Those days are long gone, Lee. They're long gone.
Now, for the record, the Panthers are 5-2 at home this year. So they've established something at home, including beating the Rams, but they had a bye week after beating the Rams. They come out and lose to the Saints. That just sums up their season in a lot of ways.
And I think that reflects the ups and downs of the quarterback, too, Steve, the young quarterback.
Yeah, crazy inconsistent.
Didn't he throw for 450 yards a couple of weeks ago? I mean, it was totally atypical.
He's only had two games over 200 yards.
Wow.
He's not very good, and he hasn't been very good against Todd Bowles, but, you know, the way this defense is now, this Bucs defense, it's a bit of a nightmare. Ira, now I know you were jumping on Charlotte Sports Radio this week doing some interviews. You're in demand all over the country, all over the world. On your
Mike
podcast.
Evans is talking about me
Mike
in
Evans
the locker room.
He's looking for you. He's got a news conference. He's looking for you.
Where's Ira?
He's looking for you. Physically, he's looking for you. Like, you know, he's moving his head and everything, which was kind of funny. But I did always try to listen to the visiting sports radio for whoever we're playing for an hour or so. And there's chatter in Panthers world that consider that the Panthers closed their season against the Bucks, the Seahawks, and the Bucks, and they just came out of a bye week and lost to the Saints. There's chatter in world of the Panthers. If the Panthers lose out and Dave Canales loses four straight out of the bye week to close the season, that he's going to get launched.
That's wow. Preposterous.
What?
That's
what?
Nuts.
Why?
Because the expectations for this team weren't set that high.
Well, when you go when you have a volatile owner and you go 7-6.
So you're saying he set himself up for failure?
Yes. If you prove that you could beat the Rams at home and have a bye week, a late bye, which everybody kind of loves it when it shows up, and then you come out and just choke.
Lee, they've already improved by two games over last year with three games left. I don't think Canales should be in trouble in any way.
If he goes 7-10 and loses four in a row, that's the kind of thing.
Look who you're talking to. You are talking about Tepper.
Well, he is a wild card.
Yeah.
He is a wild card.
So there's a lot of
hell,
urgency.
They could win a couple playoff games and he'd fire him for all we know, the way that guy is.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I mean, there could be a mutiny in that locker room to get rid of Canales. I think Canales is very well respected.
Yeah,
and very well liked.
Then the players like him.
So Derek Brown, he's their big dog on defense.
I mentioned him on that Charlotte radio
station.
He
leads them in sacks with four. So the Panthers don't have much of a pass rush. But he's been to a Pro Bowl before. He's back from injury this year. He's had a really strong season. Sat down with Kay Adams this week.
And he's healthy. You know, last year he played week one, got hurt, done. Yeah. Played one game.
Kay Adams loves him. And
That puts him on Lee's radar over there.
A little interesting is that if you notice, she's very down on the Bucks now. She's like,
understandable.
She was so high on them. But what you notice on her show on FanDuel TV, before a game, she'll try to get a game that she's focused on. She'll try to get a player on from the team that she thinks is going to win. And she chose Derek Brown, not one of the Buccaneers. And she came to Tampa and loved her time here. And everyone's laughing and giggling with Kay. And she didn't ask anybody from the Bucs, apparently, to come on her show. But Derek Brown, Ira, he's got seven batted passes this year. He's really good at it. He pushes that pocket, and he's got like 20-something in his career. I looked it up. Vita Vea has 8 in his career.
And the guy's not 6'7".
No, he's got 7 this year. That's going to probably be a thing, and that's dangerous because Mayfield's prone to that, and Brown's real good at it. We got garbage guards right now.
That's right.
Subpar for the Bucks, and we've got Graham Barton not having his best year. And you know what? Those tip balls at the line of scrimmage, they turn into weird picks.
At the least, it's an incompletion. Well, at the worst, it's a pick.
Sometimes they turn into the flukiest of interceptions. So something to think about.
I'm glad you mentioned Derrick Brown. He could be a nightmare this week. Somebody would say 4 sacks. What are we worried about Derrick Brown? He's very disruptively.
I knew you were going to use that word.
He's very disruptive.
Isn't that what you said about Gerald McCoy?
He can shut down the inside run game. Steve mentions he's going up against a couple of backups. He's not an edge rusher. He's an inside presence.
Barton's not having a great year.
And I'll share this nugget because I waited a couple of years, but I'll share it. I'll share it.
This for 2 years.
And I think it was about 2 years ago, towards the end of the season, and the Bucks had just played Carolina. I think the Bucks won the game. And I was talking to Bowles a week later, just in private. We were talking about Carolina. You squeezed by the Panthers, and they gave you all you could handle, and Bowles looked at me, he goes, we can't block Derrick Brown. We can't block him. And that's when he didn't have a couple of backup guards in there. Brown's going to be a big focus for the Bucks this week. If they can neutralize him, I think that'd go a long way to winning this game. He's a big, big presence in this game.
Steve, you brought up Mayfield and batted down passes. Didn't he have 2 in like his first 6 attempts or 2 in his first 8 attempts against Atlanta?
He's prone to it.
He's definitely more prone to it. I remember one. I don't remember a second one, but there might have been.
I seem to recall I tweeted out something like, wow, that's 2 in X passes.
Critical key to the game with Derrick Brown, Cody Balk. I watched him on some North Dakota podcast this offseason, and they asked him all the generic fun questions of, oh, who's your toughest matchup? You know, who do you dread going against? Derrick Brown is who came out of his mouth.
He could have said Cam Hayward, you know.
He could have said a lot of people.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
So, he said Derrick Brown. Wow.
Something to watch there. Now, everything about the Panthers' defense screams not very good. Not very good against the run. They've been worse lately against the run, Ira. And their offense, not very good.
They run the ball.
They haven't been very good lately. Okay. But, you know, it's the Bucks, and you will look at the Bucks and you wonder, can they capitalize on any team's weakness? What is their identity? We're still figuring that out on offense. Lee wrote something about Bucky Irving in the red zone, and the Bucks have sort of stopped using him, although they're not admitting it. They're saying, oh, well, it's packages and all this stuff. Todd Wright of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, our buddy, he talked about this a long time ago when Bucky Irving got hurt, and I mentioned it a couple of times. Irving was 7 carries for 0 yards in the red zone when he got hurt. Again, 7 carries, 0 yards.
It was this way with Canales, and I think
Cone was good at it. Cone was good
at it.
You know, Lee, speaking about red zones, and the Bucks have not been very good, and I think part of it, last week notwithstanding, they've got nothing out of tight ends in the red zone. Nothing. And so here comes Culp with a little 6-yarder. He's wide open, fine. But Otten's got 0. Zilch. And he had 4 and 4 the last 2 years. Now, 4 helps you out a little bit. It might help you win a game. They got to get more production out of the tight ends, Lee, in the red zone.
I wrote this a couple times. People have jumped on me about it. They don't like it. And I said, basically, the Bucks were playing with 10 players on offense. They were using Otten so much as a blocker. They weren't using him hardly at all in the pass game. And when they did, he made, I don't know about bonehead plays, but it turned out to be ugly plays for the Bucks, including that terrible pick 6, you know, quote unquote, it wasn't a pick, it was a fumble. They called it a pick. And I was there to witness it with my own eyes. All of a sudden, Culp comes in and gets a touchdown. Like, oh my gosh, they're playing with 11 players now in the passing game. And people don't like it. And I'm not slamming Otten, but you know, you got to say what you see.
I guess the Otten defenders would say they've changed his role this year to more of a blocking assignment.
Out of necessity.
The stats don't back it up when you look at routes run per game for tight ends. But I will say Otten, we'll go to the break on this trivia question, Ira. Otten, where does he rank in the NFL tight ends average yards per catch? Where does he rank?
Poorly.
Among NFL tight ends. Give me a average, number. Give me a number.
25th.
I'd say number 9 overall.
Number 9 overall. Ninth best?
Ninth best.
In yards per catch? All right, I'll answer the question. He ranks 53rd in the National Football League under...
I guess I am right. As far as They were playing with 10 players on offense.
We are back, presented by our friends at Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford dealers, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. If you are looking for a new vehicle, you are going to like 0% financing for 60 months, no payments for 90 days, zero money down, and the Ira Kaufman or Joe Bucks fan discount, which you can get directly from Bill Curry Ford general manager Sean Sullivan. We just ask you to go to their website, BillCurryFord.com. Start shopping, price shopping. You're going to be impressed, but you've also got a family-owned dealership that is behind you, 65 years in the community. They do so much in the community as well. Dozens of active charities that they support. BillCurryFord.com. All right, Ira, before we get to the Todd Bowles survival meter, your picks. We got to get to our picks for this critical Bucks game. Both teams are 7-7.
I want to go last today.
You want to go last? I'm going to go first. I'm picking a tie for the first time. I'm picking a tie.
Wow.
That's a cop out.
Wow.
I'm picking a tie. I got no read on the Bucks. I don't think they're good enough to win a game. Maybe they are, but this game is a mess, and I don't see some great revival of the defense. There are obviously issues. You know how much it probably really took for Todd Bowles to give that rant like that, that profanity-laced craziness?
I mean, so a tie puts all the chips in week 18.
I am picking a 21-21 tie. We almost saw a tie on Thursday night. And when not a cop out, because when I was watching Thursday night's game, I was like, you know what? You know, that was nearly a tie, and I think
and the tie would have favored the Rams, I believe, on Thursday night.
Yes. The Seahawks won.
And that's why Seattle went for two.
I'm going with a tie. This is nonsense.
Steve, Lee, how are you going to follow that? I mean, that's tough to follow. What do you see, Lee?
I was flat out going to pick the stinking Panthers. And then Steve's sitting there telling me, oh, they can't run, and their defense isn't that good.
And Young's very erratic.
Yeah, so I'm like, well, maybe this team's ripe for the pickings. And then I remember what the Bucks have done in the last couple of weeks. And 21-20 Panthers. The Bucks defense, until they show otherwise, I cannot trust them at all.
And I'm going to base my pick on a simple theory, Lee, that the Bucks never make things easy. They never make things easy. And now, the way I look at it, the Bucks are almost guaranteed to win this division with a split. But they can't be swept. So, under that circumstance, and the Bucks never make things cut and dry and always take things down to the end, I think they're going to lose on Sunday in Charlotte.
Drama in week 18?
And a lot of drama in week 18. At home. And I expect everybody to show up. And I don't want to see Panther jerseys when I walk into the Doc D over there.
Is that
loading dock. So I think Carolina wins this game. I think they'll be totally psyched to win this game. They have to win this game. Mm-hmm. Knowing that if they lose this game, they're in a lot of trouble. 23-20. The Bucks lose another tough one. And one thing we haven't talked about that I think it's been a big problem for the Bucks all year. Now, granted, they're not facing Bijan Robinson or Jahmyr Gibbs. But, Lee, those passes in the flat to those running backs, the Bucks have no answers, whether it's the left flat, the right flat. Now, I'm not saying Chuba Hubbard and Dowdell, you know, they're not Jahmyr Gibbs. They're not. But they don't swarm to the ball. And a lot of times the running back's going to make the first guy miss. Rashad White does it all the time. If you get him the ball in space. And I think that's a critical factor that the Buck defense has not solved all season. So I think the Bucks lose in Charlotte. And then we'll talk about the next two weeks. But I'm with you, Lee. That Atlanta game was jarring to me. Absolutely jarring. And more confidence ebbs out of the defense. And they lose faith in each other. And they try to do too much because I don't trust the guy next to me.
Yeah. What kind of odds can you get? Can you bet on a tie?
I have no idea. All right. Bottom line, just to verify what I said earlier, Bryce Young is 0-4 against the Buccaneers as a starter. 0-4 has had his issues with the Todd Bowles defense. Only three times this year has he thrown for more than 200 yards. That's horrible.
I think Carolina can run the ball against the Bucs. I do. I think they can.
I think they will to a degree. Prove us wrong, Bucs. We would celebrate hugely. Since we're running a little bit out of time, Ira, we talked about our Todd Bowles survival meter. Now, last time Last time we talked about what the Glazers would do, what we thought they would do, what he needed to do to survive with ownership. This time, I'm going to put you on the spot. I'm going to say, do you think, if you were the boss, what would you do with Todd Bowles? What do you think he needs to survive? I'm going to make mine real quick and easy. I think the season's got to play out. These are your critical games. This is when you're supposed to be playing your best football. The Bucks have not. I'm willing to say, let's see what their best football looks like. Can the offense do what it's supposed to do with all these legendary weapons? I don't think Todd Bowles is just completely disconnected from the offense. Whatever they do, get them you're the head coach, and they've got to beat these teams ahead of them that are not very good. So the jury's still out for me.
I'll answer it this way, Lee. And, you know, and it's not a small standard. I'm holding him to a higher standard. He's got to win a division, and he's got to play a credible first-round playoff game, not 27-7 loss. Win the division and play a credible first-round playoff game at home. Otherwise, I think there's going to be a hard conversation after the season from the Glazer boys. I think it would be a spirited debate about how to proceed because they're hunting the Super Bowl. What do you think Bowles has to do?
Oh, you guys are putting me on the spot.
To survive. What would What would make you bring him back?
NFC Championship appearance?
High standard, Lee.
I would bring him back outside of that if he had to sit down with Light and the Glazer family. And he said, Todd, you're basically going to be, and I don't know if he'd agree to this, you're basically going to be a figurehead. We're bringing in a defensive coordinator. We'll keep Grizzard, but we got to have a different defensive staff. We can't do this any longer. We're bringing in a defensive coordinator. If you want to stick around and be the head coach, you make all the
What if they just tell him to make some changes on his defensive staff, and he can stay as the signal caller? That's not enough, Lee?
If you don't trust a guy to run the defense, will you trust him to hire a new staff? That'd be like Dungy. And when the Glazer family went to Dungy, like, you know, we got to get rid of Shula, and they brought in a guy just as bad, if not worse. And so I don't know if that would work. And I don't know if Bowles would agree to that just to be a figurehead coach. Like, you could make the executive decisions about when to go for it, when to not. But as far as day-to-day operations with the defense, we're going to have someone else run the defense.
What I think is also a small wrinkle in that is, Todd, let's say he won one playoff game, and they come to him with that. He may be like, look, I'll get a job tomorrow. We're in the hiring cycle. I've just been to the playoffs 4 years in a row. I just beat Seattle. And I've heard chatter up in New York for the Giants that he's a name that people are thinking about. Yeah. Yeah. I heard
they ran him out of New York.
That was the Jets, not the Giants.
Lee's got his mind on this Clint Kubiak. Lee's looking at him.
He's about one of four or five guys. But, you know, as far as I know, there has been zero talk of this. This could be total BS, but I'm going to start it. Why not Todd Bowles to Michigan? His son already plays there. They're reeling from scandals. Not a scandal, scandals.
And he's clean. He's clean.
He's clean as a whistle. He's just what you want for an image. Just what you want to have with kids. Perfect as far as
Lee's
image.
Lee's working on Bowles' next job, Steve. This is unbelievable.
Hey, Michigan.
He cares for Todd Bowles. He says, look, you got to go if you can't get to the NFC Championship or make major changes and get close. I got another job for
you. Did Bowles say this is going to be his last job?
Yes.
He did say that.
That was a while ago.
But his son's up there. He could make a lot of money. He could be in control.
All right, Iris. So look, so people have it straight now from you on your beloved podcast. You think Bowles has got to win out, you know, get to the playoffs and look respectable.
How do you explain losing the division title after a 6-2 start and losing it to the Panthers? I'm not sure you can make a defense of that.
I have a more complex question. He picked all these guys to play on defense. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the season, he lost these guys. And we don't know who exactly the bad apples
Shouldn't
are.
Shouldn't the defense get better as the season goes
well,
on?
Well, damn right.
They had guys. It sounds like there's guys quitting on him.
Oh, that's a strong charge.
Well, I don't know how else to interpret what they're saying. They can't get motivated.
You're saying effort. Effort. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, and effort to me is if you're not giving effort, you're quitting.
Effort's the death sentence for a coach.
So, you know, I don't know. You know, unfortunately, he picked those guys like to. But, you know, I am that man. Well, and they ain't that man, or at least some people are. So, you know, if Bowles was so confident in these guys, how did he miss that?
Speaking of Light, he sat on his hands during the trade deadline. Let's not forget that, Steve. That could come back to haunt him.
He sat on his hands, but you don't know what his options were. He may have made a couple offers. It's hard to say that. It's hard to say that, but it seems that way, for sure, when you look at it. I find it interesting that Jacksonville has already extended the contract of a Jacoby Myers, but we don't need a receiver. So, you know, maybe we could have used one, though. Maybe we'd be in the playoffs if we had signed him already. I don't know. Ira, they've got to show up on Sunday and beat a marginal team. They still have the best quarterback on the field. Baker Mayfield, probably the most interesting and important thing of this week, was that he is not on the injury report anymore, right? So he's been on there with a knee. He's been on there with an oblique. He's been on there with a shoulder sprain. And even if he plays and he practices, it's still listed because it's affecting him in some way. Now he's off the injury report with 10 days rest. He's got to come out and play a freaking game.
Absolutely. You know, Lee, bottom line is the thing that's killing Bowles is it's his side of the ball that's screwing up.
Exactly. That's
killing him.
Yes.
That's killing
yes.
him. If the offense stunk, he could get past that. We'll get a new coordinator next year. That's not the case.
All right, Ira. We hope you have a good weekend and have a happy Buccaneers Sunday.
And I hope we're wrong with our picks.
Yes.
I hope we're wrong.
Any big plans?
No. I got to gear up for Christmas, so I'm Cosmo's Norin at the bottom of the tree.
All right, Ira. We will see you next week. Hopefully, we got some good news here. Otherwise, we'll be talking replacement coaches here. We're just going to go for it if he can't win soon. This is crazy.